I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of The Memo. It's Wednesday, January the 20th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, your host, one of your hosts.
Scott
the other
Morris.
Host is, I'm getting there.
All right, I thought you paused.
I did pause.
I thought you paused for me, not for just effect.
Well, I like to pause for effect. Although you don't pause too long, because in radio and podcast, dead air is the enemy.
So we're experiencing a lull.
Yes. So anyway, that's M. Scott Morris. He's making his debut as a co-host today.
Probably my last appearance as co-host.
I don't know. I keep running people off. This is like my fourth different person in a row since Derek's been out.
It is the smell.
Is it?
No. Yes.
I showered last night. I don't understand. But
maybe you should have done that sooner.
Apparently. Yeah. Derek Russell's out until next week, so we got some good help in here for the podcast. So Scott's going to sit in here today with us. And
yeah, you've been through the B team, the C team. Now you have the D team.
Well, you've been on the show, though, so it's not much different.
All right, then.
You just got to learn how to banter, that's all. And I think you're pretty good at that because you do it in the newsroom all the time.
What are we doing now? Is this bantering?
This is bantering. This
you
is
know,
the part
I'm
where we banter.
My resume now. I can banter.
Also known as vamping.
High quality bantering by M. Scott Morris.
Yes.
See where it gets you.
See where it gets me. To the unemployment line.
Yeah, well.
In the new economy, though, that might not be so bad.
So how about this weather, Scott?
You know what? I had to get up this morning. We get up everyone around 6:30 and walk the dogs around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And my wife and I do it together. And we've gone skiing once or twice in our history. So I've gone, went to Colorado one time, went to Idaho a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
But for the rest of it, my ski clothes are my dog walking clothes in this type of weather.
Yeah.
So pretty warm.
Yeah.
Most of me. I mean, my nose and face was exposed. But yeah, we were out there walking, and my old dog, he didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, I bet not.
But the young dog, she was just happy to do anything at any time.
My kids were very disappointed. It wasn't quite cold enough for the roads to ice over and cancel school.
Yeah, apparently, I don't know why. When you and I were young, we loved school. But for some reason, these kids today,
up till about junior high, I was okay with it. Then I was like, I don't enjoy this. And now I've got I got one in high school, one in junior high, and they don't. They act like they don't enjoy it, even though they make like all A's and B's.
I'm not sure that it was school that I didn't enjoy. It was just having to wake up in the morning. I didn't like much.
Yeah, I still don't like that. I really wanted to crawl back into bed today.
Yeah, but when I woke up this morning, I looked and I said, you know what? On Saturday, I can sleep in. And so I said, I'm just building toward that day, anticipating the moment when I can sleep in.
I don't get to sleep
in. Yeah, I was going
to
say that's because you don't have a newborn.
Yeah, but
I did. 1 year old.
I did my time.
Yeah, I did my time, and now I'm doing it again.
You didn't learn your lesson. I learned my lesson.
I'm a repeat offender or something. I don't know. Yeah.
They're bundles of joy. That's why they say that. Instead of saying they're alarm clocks.
They're definitely bundles.
And state machines.
Bundles of joy, sometimes bundles of poo, yeah. Bundles of tears and all that good stuff. It's fun, though. It's fun.
That's right.
Hey, we got a good show today. We got Riley Manning going to come in here and talk about the Salvation Army trying to reach its fundraising goal for a new homeless shelter. Going to talk with Scott here about a story he had the other day about this fella that moves homes.
Sizemore.
Yes, Nathan Sizemore. Adam Robison, he's one of our staff photographers. He's going to talk with us about his photo essay that at Scarlett's Donuts.
And that'll be fun because Adam can't speak in complete sentences. And so having that go on should be an enjoyable experience.
I don't even know what that's about.
What? sorry for interrupting.
Okay, fine. Jenna Parsons, it's Wednesday, so we'll have Jenna in here to talk about food. Jenna's your best friend.
One of my favorites.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of banter, it's fun to listen to Scott and Jenna go back and forth. They act like they hate each other, but they don't. I think y'all have just been working together too long.
19 years. More than 19 years.
Wow. Yeah. That is a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I can't stand her.
Yes, you can. Oh, boy. All right. We got a good show, so let's jump into it here. Let's get it going here with Riley Manning, religion editor. Hey, man. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are y'all?
I'm good. Religion editor, but also writes about the nonprofits and such as the Salvation Army. And they're working on getting a new homeless shelter built, working on a $2.5 million fundraising campaign. And they're getting close, Riley, but they're still looking for a little more money. And the story you had in today's journal, also at djournal.com, is about them going before the Lee County Board of Supervisors. And kind of tell us a little bit about what they're trying to do there.
So the campaign for this shelter began in June, I believe. Since then, through help of the city of Tupelo and private donations, they've raised over $2 million, and their goal is 2.5. So, they're requesting help from the county as well, in the form of a $50,000 commitment annually for 5 years. So that would bring them to completion, if my math is right.
Yeah.
And Jack Reed said that members of the board had expressed interest all the way back in the fall, but since they were getting some new members in January,
right,
they couldn't speak for those members. But since they've been elected this month, Jack Reed and Major Jeffrey Daniel with the Salvation Army have kind of taken them to the shelter just to show them what the need is, and it's a pretty profound need.
Yeah, how bad is it there? I mean, it's about a 30-year-old structure, and they said they've just been basically putting a Band-Aid on it time and again. There's just not enough room either.
Right. It's a huge need. I mean, to go down there and just talk to anybody, like, the story behind them is amazing. Like, I talked to this one family that the Army had found, like, essentially living in their car, and it's not two people, it's four people. And so, you know, you don't really have any choice but to bring those people in. And so Major Daniel said that they've been putting people in the gym and the hallways and the classrooms there at the Army. So just kind of anywhere that they can fit, especially in the wintertime when the temperatures drop. Usually in summer, it's not as crowded.
Right.
Major Daniel said, but, you know, this summer, he said they didn't really see any let up in clientele.
Really?
So to have that, to be at capacity all summer and then have this sort of like cold weather rush is pretty, pretty indicative of a need for new expansion.
So they would break ground, what, this spring if they're able to get the financials?
That's right. Secured? If the financial deal goes through with the Board of Supervisors, Daniel estimated sometime in March, breaking ground, which would be excellent.
Where were they going to break ground at? Is it going to be in the same general area?
Yeah, it's going to be right behind the current facilities over on Carnation Street, if I understand correctly. I think one thing kind of holding them up is they have to look at sort of the statutes. So for the city, like, statutes for the city for such a project are different than statutes for the county. So the Lee County Board of Supervisors has to make sure all that is capiche.
I gotcha.
Would the old facility still be in operation while they're building a new one?
That's a good question. I would think so. I would think they would be. I would think that they would use all the space that they could.
Yeah, and continue using it after the new one's built somehow, maybe?
I would think so, but that's a good question.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sure we're going to write plenty more about this topic. Mm. Hopefully they'll get the money. I mean, it sounded like the Board of Supervisors is behind it. Billy Joe Holland, in your story, that he's the president of the board, said he thinks they're all on board with it. It's just a matter of making sure, I guess.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, what more responsibility could you have than to care for the homeless? I mean, there's not much more of a moral imperative than that.
Right.
So.
Good deal. Okay, y'all can read this story in today's journal at djournal.com. Riley Manning, thank you, sir.
No problem.
Need to remind y'all about a couple of other podcasts we have going on here, produced by the Daily Journal. Prep Rally, our high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. That's gonna drop a new episode today. Yeah, every Wednesday, Gene and I. And it's also a webcast, so you can check that out at djournal.com. You can listen on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And also tomorrow, a new episode of Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry talking Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports. Check that out also on iTunes, your podcast apps, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. Okay, Scott, you're now doing a dual role. You're co-host and now you're a guest because I'm interviewing you about a story.
You know, I have a lot of questions about myself.
Well, I think we all do, Scott. I have a lot of questions about you, sir. No, but he had this cool story over the weekend. This fellow named Nathan Sizemore.
Yeah.
I liked your lead. He's building his own ghost town off Highway 371. He moves houses.
Yeah, that's what it looked like when we first drove by. I was out with Thomas Wells, photographer. We were looking for some flooded areas a while back and drove by and saw these houses off the side of the road. And they're all older houses. You know, clearly they were, some of them were decrepit, some of them not. But, and so it looked like a ghost town, and it had a phone number to call. And it actually just said Sizemore House Movers. Yeah. I looked up online, gave him a call, and we went out to check it out. And we made this guy. The Journal did years ago, 1996. He was 18 years old, and he got called upon to move his first house. And a photographer from the Journal, I'm not sure who it was, I think it might have been Bill Klein, for longtime readers, went out and saw him, took a photograph of the house being moved off of McCullough at Coley, and ran it on the front page of the paper the next day. He said, my phone's been ringing ever since. And so it was his first house, and he got that free publicity, and came at a good time for him. This guy was made for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, he kind of fell into it because it was his cousin that was asked him to help move a corn crib, and then he started moving other things. And
yeah, someone saw him move that corn crib, and so they called. And I love this quote he said. He said, "She said Sizemore. Everybody calls me Sizemore," and they did. I talked to some people who worked with them, and they said, "She said you're not tearing that house down because I know Sizemore." And so he was. Yeah, so it's become his way of doing things. He's got several properties around where he leaves houses, and some of them his plan is to rent them out to people, but to rehab them first. He's got one at that site that's pretty close to being rentable, but he's not so dedicated to it because he'd rather be moving houses. But he moved houses for a lady in Pontotoc, who Miss Smith, who does rehab them and rents them out, and that kind of, like, it costs less apparently to move a house. If you like condemn some property, if you just gave the house to Sizemore and let him move it, it would cost the city less than if they tore it down and had to pay to tear it down and hauled it off. And so he can get a house for a dollar, move it somewhere, and then he charges people for moving it, and people get houses out of it at a discount rate. And this location he has about five houses out there. But he's had more, but people will drive by and say, I like that house. And so he'll just move it to them and then move it to where they want it.
I mean, you see houses getting moved now and then driving down the road. I guess I didn't realize there's moving houses is like something that, I mean, obviously you can build a business around it. I didn't realize houses get moved that often, I guess. I don't know.
And that's kind of why I was interested in doing it. Same thing. I just realized that in my entire career, I've never done a story just on moving houses. And so we stopped by, and he was happy to talk to us and show us some of his equipment. He got these big old beams. He's got the old post office building from Mooreville still on the beam sitting out there.
Wow.
And that building is decrepit. That building is in bad shape. It's going to take some rehab. But when I was a kid, across the street from a friend of mine, there was an old abandoned house.
And
we used to love going to that house. And quite frankly, we did a little bit of vandalism in the day. And that's why for him, city wants them to move these houses, get rid of them. That house back in Huntsville, they burned it. They had a controlled burn one day, and it was right across the street from school, so we all got to watch it burn.
Nice. It's got to be it's always fascinating to me how you go about moving a house. I mean, I'm not sure if like every kind of house can be moved or if there's only certain kinds. Really?
He said his biggest house weighed more than 1 million pounds, like 1.4 something million pounds.
Good grief.
He had it weighed. And he said that if they have to, they'll cut the top off to make it under bridges or under power lines or phone lines, and they'll just put it back on. And they try to it's almost important. Loading it up is about as important also to have the route from where you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
Is trying to find the best way to do it.
Yeah.
He said, this didn't make it into the story because it didn't really fit the flow, but he blocked traffic on McCullough, all traffic, for about 8 hours one day. Because what happened was he was backing a house out, and there was a rusted out or rotted out culvert, and it just kind of kaploosh. And the house and everything was stuck there for him trying to get things out.
Jeez.
It must have been a mess. If he would have given that man a diamond, a chunk of coal to hold, he would have had a diamond by the end of the day. That would have been stressful.
Well, it seems like a very tedious process.
Yeah, he says he gets the night before a move. He stays up, has a hard time sleeping. He just wants to get out there and get at it. And I can understand. Wow. There's a lady in Hamilton, Alabama. She got one of his houses. She had found it. They're about to tear it down. And she's the one who said, "No, I know Sizemore. You're not going to." That was state of Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, while it was being moved through town, the lady who had built it with her husband in the 50s saw it moving through town. She was getting her hair done at the beauty shop. And she saw it going. And so ended up that lady got invited to the housewarming party. And it was kind of this nice little emotional event. And the lady's daughter was there and going to the house going, "That was my room. That was my sister's room. That was my parents' room." And just kind of reliving the memories of a house that was destined to be torn down and destroyed and got new life.
Wow.
How often would you say he moves houses?
It's a feast and famine type of deal. This time of year, not so much, but obviously more in the drier months and warmer months. But I can't tell you a specific number.
Well, seems to be doing pretty well with it though. So.
Oh, he seems pleased. He seems like he says he loves his job. And when people tell me that, I just assume they're telling me the truth. Why lie about that?
Exactly.
I hate my job. I hate this podcast. Nobody would say that.
Nah.
Well, everybody loves the podcast.
Oh, yeah. How can you not love the podcast? Hey, anyway, y'all can read that at djournal.com. It was in Sunday's paper, so.
Sizemore.
Good job, Scott.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, let's knock out today's news memo. Tupelo Middle School English teacher Tina Fitz was named the Tupelo Public School District's 2016 Teacher of the Year. Fitz was surprised with the award during Tuesday's school board meeting. A 28-year educator, Fitz has been in the Tupelo School District since 2004. She currently teaches 8th grade advanced English at TMS.
And she has her doctorate, so she's Dr. Teacher Tina Fitz.
There you go.
Or Teacher Dr. Tina Fitz.
Either way.
Tupelo Middle School construction. Work will soon begin on a 5-classroom addition at the middle school. The Tupelo School Board selected a bid of Corinth-based CIG Incorporated during its Tuesday meeting. The $1.4 million project will be funded by the school district's $44 million bond issue. Work will begin in February and is expected to take 210 days to complete. The new classrooms will be multi-purpose rooms.
The owner of the former Travel Lodge Motel has another 4 weeks to come up with a plan that includes tearing down the structure. The Tupelo City Council backed off a plan to condemn the 106-room hotel after talking to the owner. Comerica Bank now has until February the 16th to return to the council with a plan for the two-story structure at the intersection of North Gloucester Street and McCullough Boulevard. Any plan must include demolishing the building.
Tupelo Public School District officials will begin interviewing candidates for the Tupelo High School band director position in the next few weeks. The position came available when former director Tim Matlock resigned at the end of December. Matlock had been placed on administrative leave after being arrested for possession of crystal methamphetamine. Tupelo Superintendent Gerald Loden said the district hopes to fill the position in March.
And finally, a new steakhouse is coming to the All-America City. Texas Roadhouse will be opening a 7,000-square-foot restaurant that will seat about 200 diners. It will be built on the former property where Vanelli's was located on North Gloucester Street. The owner said he hopes to open by Labor Day. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Texas Roadhouse, man, that's good eating. I ate at one in Houston a couple of years ago. It's good food.
And you got Logan's Steakhouse. You got roadhouses all over the place.
You got Longhorn Steakhouse.
You got Longhorn.
Nice little stretch of steakhouses there.
You just like have you can have one steak for breakfast, one for lunch, and one for dinner. Get all three.
I could eat steak all day, man.
Instead of a pub crawl, you could do a steak crawl or something.
crawl. need to remind y'all quickly about the Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo. Providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. All right, let's get photographer Adam Robison in here. Hey, man.
Hey, man. What it is?
How's it going?
A little under the weather.
That's all right. The beard's coming in nicely, though.
Yeah, I'm almost tired of it.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see how much longer I can take it. I
haven't gotten tired of mine yet. But anyway.
I have all the colors of the rainbow in my beard. Some red, some gray, some blonde, some brown,
let's
and
call
white.
Let's call that pepper. You got a pepper beard. Yeah.
The rainbow beard.
Hey, you got to see the magic being made the other day. We had this In Focus photo essay we do every Monday. And you had it this week. It rotates through our photography staff. You got to go to Scarlett's Donuts, nay Shipley Donuts. They've changed their name to Scarlett's. So it's you know, it's the same buildings and everything, but it's a different name, a different recipe, I guess. But you got to go see how the donuts were made up close, which had to be fun and interesting.
Yeah. That's a few years ago. We photographed. I think Dennis did a story over there on the Cliff Gookin location, so I had a general idea of how they did things. But as far as shooting at the North Gloucester, or I guess it's the South Gloucester location,
yeah,
that's what it is. You know, just the layout's different, and you know, once they got used to me being in there, and I knew what they had, where as far along as they were in their process, we banged out some good shots in a couple hours, and. And it went pretty good.
How early did you have to get there?
Oh, I got there at like 8 o'clock.
They were already been going for a while.
Yeah. But people were steadily coming in. It's sort of like a yard sale. Folks come in waves. So it's like every 15 minutes, you'd get a big shot in the arm of folks walking in the door.
How early do they have to get there to start preparing that stuff?
That I didn't ask, but I would guess pretty early.
Because they
4 a.m. or something.
Probably something ridiculous. Yeah. I mean. It looks like I would just, looking at the pictures, I want donuts now. I'm not sure how you didn't get distracted.
She was like, here, hey, take some donuts back. And by the time I left, it was 10 o'clock. I would have brought you guys back some donuts, but,
why didn't you?
I'm a horrible guy like that. But, I turned her down and thanked her for, you know, thanked Miss Scarlett for the time of letting us in there to, show what's going on with what they do on a daily basis and, you know, serving the area.
They turn out a large number of donuts in a short amount of time, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't tell you how many are on one of the little grates that they cook.
Yeah.
But they go into, you know, they roll out the dough and they've got a little machine that presses everything and someone, you know, pulls out all the holes and they go to a separate section and then the lady sifts through all of those and puts them on a little wire mesh sort of tray. And the other ones go into what's called a proofer, which is the, it just lets the yeast rise before it goes into a fryer. Then after the fryer, they'll put them in the little, you know, glazing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool because what they do, they just, you know, that was the main picture of it's actually Bobby Pepper's son, Philip, throwing the donuts in. And that's one thing I remember from a few years ago where I knew that was a shot I wanted to get, and that was going to be my main one of them tossing the donuts in. And that's what I wanted. I just built out from there.
Yeah. Yeah. What's fun about this kind of assignment for you? And why'd you choose this one?
I like to get people in a process if I can.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a process. You know, you have a start and finish. It's people working with their hands. So you sit around and you think, okay, what are the categories, the things that I could shoot that fall in line like that? And, you know, the donuts is the same thing. I called them before the first of the year and I was like, hey, you know, if you want to do it this week, you can, but let's, you know, we're doing the name change and all of this and all that. Let's do it the first of the year. I said, hey, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I like those kind of things, too, those process things. You kind of go behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you know, growing up watching Mr. Rogers, he'd, like, go to a factory or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or a bakery, and then they'll show you how stuff gets done because, you know, you don't always get to see that. So
yeah, I did the shoe guy last month, Romel Matthews, down at Matthews Shoe Repair.
Yeah.
And that's a really good hands-on process, and, you know, you learned a lot there of – you know, some people just chunk their shoes, but, you know, he can fix things.
Yeah.
That, you know, that process was unique.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much along the same lines as donuts, but shoes aren't donuts. But
well, you get donuts what I mean. Taste a little better.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I've seen some dogs that like eating shoes just as much as donuts. So,
That's good stuff, man. Again, that was in Monday's Journal. You can check it out at djournal.com. Nice photo gallery there from Adam Robinson. Adam, thank you, sir.
No problem. Thanks.
Tonight is the deadline for the Daily Journal's new Entertain Us movie contest. The contest is open to anyone, and video submissions can run from 1 second to 5 minutes. They can be shot on an iPhone, a camcorder, or any other device. Videos will go head-to-head in a bracket-style competition, and viewers will vote for their favorites. Participants should upload their video to YouTube and email the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. Registration will continue until 11:59 p.m. tonight. There is no registration fee. The ultimate Entertain Us winner will get a personalized director's chair and a director's slate. Voting will begin soon at djournal.com, and the winner is expected to be crowned around Oscars weekend.
Okay, it's Wednesday, which means it's food day, which means Scott Morris's arch nemesis is here, Jenna Parsons.
Hey, Jenna. We meet again, Parsons.
Good morning.
No, but hey, how you doing, Jenna?
I'm good.
Good, good.
A little wet, a little cold.
Yeah, well, I was telling Scott I didn't even want to get out of bed today. I heard the rain outside, and I was like, I didn't know it was going to rain. I would have planned to call in sick or something. Anyway, Jenny got a full food section here. Let's talk about Greek yogurt. I like Greek yogurt. I've been eating it quite a bit. You know, it's kind of a fad now, I guess, isn't it? But it's actually, like, really good for you.
Yeah, Cam Newton sells it now.
Well, there you go.
Who's Cam Newton?
That's why you're one of my favorites. Right there.
Brad, do you like the plain or do you like the flavored ones?
I never like plain yogurt. Of course, I haven't tried plain Greek yogurt, so I've just been eating the flavored ones, so I don't know.
No, I like the flavored ones, too. Okay. But these recipes are talking about the plain and using it in cooking, and it's really just the same thing as sour cream with a lot less fat and calories, but it's the Greek yogurt is thicker than regular yogurt because it's been strained purposefully to take the whey and some of the liquids out and make it more creamy, and it's tart like sour cream, so it's a great way to save calories and fat without losing the taste.
Yeah, regular plain yogurt just grosses me out. I just can't do it.
It's kind of gloppy.
Yeah. I don't like sour cream either, but if it's part of a recipe, then I know it does help.
Well, how do you eat a baked potato?
Not with sour cream. Butter and cheese and some bacon bits. Lots of bacon.
All right.
Yeah. But no, if it's mixed into something, it's fine. But yeah, so what kind of stuff can you make with this Greek yogurt? It looks
I made a pasta dish, a penne pasta with whole wheat or whole grain penne and shrimp, and the Greek yogurt thickened the sauce the way cream or sour cream would.
Okay.
And made a frittata using the Greek yogurt, and you could use less cream, but it still gets that fluffy texture.
I don't even know what a frittata is.
It's
sorry.
It's a fluffy egg dish.
It's like a quiche. It's like a quiche without a crust. It makes its own crust.
Okay.
But this one had spinach and sun-dried tomatoes and feta cheese. And then my husband, for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now, has been making wings on Super Bowl Sunday, paprika wings, and using Greek yogurt, and plain Greek yogurt instead of the sour cream. And it gives them a nice coating.
I asked Riley, you mentioned him in your column, about his pizza crust that he does. And I asked Riley about it, and then our boss Leslie turned around and said, oh, it is wonderful. So just two ingredients,
ingredients, plain Greek yogurt and self-rising flour, and it makes the most wonderful. It's one of those things where you read it and you say, that's crazy, that's never going to work. And then you try it, and it's like, man, that worked.
And then you don't even need the recipe in the paper now. It's just slap it all together and you're good.
Right. Well, you have to have the amounts.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, speaking of crazy, you've got a list of uses for plain Greek yogurt. One of them is swap it for mayonnaise on a sandwich.
That is crazy.
That seems weird, but I guess, have you tried that?
I have not tried swapping it for mayonnaise on a sandwich, but I can, you know, mayonnaise is creamy, as is the yogurt. Now, the yogurt's going to have a little more tang, but mayonnaise, if it's made right, it's got it's just lemon juice and oil and eggs. It's got a tang to it as well.
True. Interesting. Okay. I've been eating a lot of that Chobani yogurt. Is that Greek yogurt? I don't even know.
I think it is. If I do the flavored yogurt, I usually do Oikos.
Yeah, I've eaten that too.
But I like I think Bobby Flay says, I think it's Faye, looks like F-A-G-E the Greek yogurt that I like.
Yeah. All I know is there's the John Stamos yogurt and the Cam Newton yogurt. You don't know who Cam Newton is.
But
you know
who John
Stamos is.
I do.
John Stamos
I was a Full House watcher.
Oh, yeah. See what else we had. You had Cook of the Week.
1 second.
Yeah,
my wife uses that yogurt just as milk in her cereal. She doesn't use milk. She uses that for milk in cereal.
Plain Greek yogurt?
Yeah.
Well, I can see where that would work because I use it with granola sprinkled on top and blueberries. So
yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Often add blueberries or fruit
thing.
To it, yeah, or slice the strawberries.
Yep. Hmm. That
I'm
works.
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
No, that's interesting. Okay. Cook of the Week, Annette Jones of Aberdeen, a recently retired educator, likes to cook for other people, prefers baking, I guess, according to your story, but she'll do just whatever.
She said she'd rather bake than cook, but any time that people enjoy what she makes, that's what she enjoys making. So, yeah.
Okay. My favorite quote of hers was, I probably cook 3 nights a week. The hardest thing is thinking of what to cook. I don't mind cooking if someone will just give me some ideas. And isn't that kind of a common lament? Does that happen in households everywhere?
Everywhere.
What do you want to eat next week? I don't know, food?
Well, and it's usually, you know, and this may be sexist, but usually it's the mom who decides, you know. She'll say, what do y'all want? I'll say to my family, what do y'all want for supper tonight? We don't know or we don't care. So then I go and I make a meatloaf and they say, well, I didn't want meatloaf. Well, tell me what you want and I'll cook it.
Yeah.
That's why we miss corporal punishment. That would be a good, you know, like 30 years ago, that would have been a good chance to hit somebody with a shoe. You can't do it anymore. But
You can. You just can't leave a mark.
No, that's right.
That's the key to it.
She's from God's country, Huntsville, Alabama. Same as me.
Yes, indeed.
She is from Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her mama still lives there. Mom still lives there.
And so she grew up just cooking beside her mother. Didn't even have to go to class for home economics because she had it all down.
One of five girls. And I think what she said was her mom just because there were so many, she just turned them loose in the kitchen. But she also said that she was not that free and loose with her own children. She, you know, I think had a little more control over hers and didn't want to mess up stuff.
Gotcha. Right before this segment began, your husband Charlie stuck his head in the door and said, don't say a word about buttermilk chicken. So, of course, we're going to ask you about buttermilk chicken.
I have no idea why he doesn't want me to talk about the buttermilk roast chicken.
It's your column topic today. Hello.
It is.
So, sorry, Charlie.
I think it may be because in the column I mentioned that he came to my desk and said, what's for supper, as he does just about every day. And this time I was ready for him because he sends me these emails 3 or 4 times a week and with the slug that says, this sounds good. And it's a link to a recipe.
Yeah.
And then the next week when I say, well, why don't we have whatever, he looks at me like I have 3 heads. He doesn't know what I'm talking about because he's forgotten he sent the email. But he sent this one from the New York Times and as I said, I don't know why we haven't done this forever, because my mom used to soak chicken in buttermilk before she fried it, and always kept it moist, especially the white meat. The dark meat's always moist, but this worked. The chicken breasts that we cooked were so moist and so tender that I have vowed that whether I'm doing chicken for a casserole or putting it on the grill or putting it in the oven, it's going to get a little buttermilk soak.
Well, what Sounds do you do delicious. With the leftover buttermilk? Because it was a staple at my granny and granddaddy's house when I was growing up, and they would drink it, just pour it into a glass drink it.
That's disgusting.
And that's when I began thinking, maybe I'm adopted.
No, my mother did the same thing, or it was even worse than that. She would pour a glass of buttermilk, and then she would dunk her cornbread in it.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I cannot drink buttermilk. I can't stand to smell it. I don't even know if it's gone bad because I'm not going to taste it. I just have to go by that expiration date. But I like it in pound cakes. I like it, you know, to make a marinade for chicken, but I'm not going to drink it.
It has its uses, certainly, but it's not a refreshing substance.
Well, we're not of that generation, I guess.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that generation.
When we needed the extra fat to keep warm because we had no insulation in our houses.
Oh, I got plenty of fat to keep warm. I don't need the buttermilk to help me.
That generation consumed a lot of weird things, okay?
They ate everything. They ate every part of the animal, which actually is humane when you think about an animal. If it's going to give its life for you, you may as well use everything you can, but I am not going to eat its tongue or its intestines.
My great grandfather, I think it was, would eat pig brains.
And it should be noted, though, that no cow ever gave its life for giving buttermilk, so that stuff can spoil wherever it needs to spoil.
Well, that's true.
Jenna Parsons, food editor. Check out her stuff in today's journal at djournal.com. Jenna, it's always a pleasure, and I'm glad I had you and Scott on opposite sides of the desk.
I noticed so, that, you know, because
she couldn't reach
that.
Me. She couldn't reach, but she threw a shoe, she could probably do some damage.
Yeah, probably so. All right, Jenna, appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, I think I've done well enough that I never want to be invited back. I think this will be the perfect episode to co-host on. They'll say, remember the best, greatest co-host we ever had, Scott Morris? He did it once. He dropped the mic and left.
You'd be like Michael Jordan for the Bulls, not for the Wizards.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Go out on top.
That's right. I'll never come back again. This will be my one experience co-hosting. And I'll come back if you slip something like a Pepsi Cola on my desk or something, I might come back.
Okay.
We'll
okay.
see.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure, gentlemen.
It's been fun, Scott. Yeah. Thanks. Y'all can follow Scott on Twitter, by the way, at @mscottmorris. And you'll have a movie review coming up tomorrow.
That is correct.
So I guess we'll have you back on the show tomorrow.
Get a review of 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi.
Yeah, that looks interesting. That's a Michael Bay movie that actually I might kind of want to watch. I just don't like him in general. But
Michael Bay goes big often.
He does.
And this is a lot of fighting. Well, wait a minute now. I'm not going to ruin tomorrow's review. Just stop it right there. I know what you're doing, Bradlock.
I just want to get a little taste
no,
of it.
No, no, no. I'm not going to say any more.
Okay. I guess we'll have to wait until Thursday's episode for y'all to find out what Scott thinks of that.
Who will your co-host be, do you know?
I have no idea, Chris.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Toss a coin, something. Anyway, you can follow the show on Twitter at @DJournalMemo. Send us an email with your questions or comments. It's memo@journalinc.com. I'm on the Twitter at @BradLock, and so is Chris at @ChrisKiefer. So there you go. Another show in the bag.
It's just that easy.
Good job, Scott. Thanks, man. Okay. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, have a good one.